When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
My favorite, it's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome into a Judd's Hockey Show. Zolgad and Declan Goff, as always. And we thought for a long period of time, Declan Goff, that we weren't going to be doing a Judd's Hockey Show tonight. It looked like the Wild was going to lose 1-0 against an Islanders team that looks very happy playing a style of hockey the New Jersey Devils became very familiar and successful with, but it's boring as hell in the 90s. The Wild comes back, gets a shorthanded goal from Goudreau, gets a goal from Sam Steele to take the lead, and then finally an empty net goal, all in the third period from Kirill Kaprizov, and they come away with a 3-1 win. Their three-game losing streak is over. So I want to start with this. The first period, I thought the Wild played probably more structured than they did against the Rangers, who are a very talented team a couple nights ago in the loss. But yet I didn't think that they played, again, to go back to a term that we used a lot a couple nights ago against the Rangers decks, a heavy enough game. I mean, they lost a lot of board battles again, and that's the Islanders specialize in that crap. The Islanders then got a goal, which is great. Good for them. Second period, I liked what the Wild did a little bit more, and they started to take the play to New York, which they should. Third period, I thought, was really good. And I want to talk about the game-tying shorthanded goal by Goudreau. But I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about the play Joel Eriksson Ek made. Because I thought that was a, like, when you talk about compete and effort and playing a heavy style of game, that penalty kill, Eriksson Ek jarred the puck loose and it looked like he was going to have a two-on-one. He then lost control of it. Islanders kept the puck in, and instead of sort of like punting and giving up decks, Eriksson Ek went right back at that puck, got it back, broke away while being harassed. So like it was not a clean breakaway. He's being, if not hooked down, he's certainly being bothered, and makes a gorgeous pass. And that goal ties the game. And if I am the Wild, and in particular Dean, I absolutely love that goal because that is the exact type of goal. And that play by Ek to me is what defines a game like this. Because tonight wasn't pretty. Tonight was, how could I put this nicely, a belabored game. It was a heavy game. There was not a lot of ice. And the Islanders were very happy to actually spend the last two periods playing prevent defense, which I absolutely hate. And that goal that tied the game up to me was like a huge defining point of what you need to see in a game like this. And last thing, I think it's the type of play that we have not seen in the past couple weeks nearly enough from this team.
Yeah, I think that would have been a horrendous loss if you were going to exit that game down 1-0, outshoot them almost 3-1. The only goal that you gave up was a fluky, weird, random goal that just bounces off a stick and the own of Gustafsson's stick and finds the back of Twine. So yeah, it would have been a pretty, you know, lay your head in your shoulders kind of loss. But they were able to rally and they were able to compete back, which was great. Yeah, I mean, I didn't love their game for the majority of it for 60 minutes tonight, but in the third period, they were able to deliver. And you know, their power play opportunities, you have to convert those. It felt a lot like last year, where they just weren't able to convert some big time power play opportunities. And when you're getting all those opportunities, which the Wild had, you do have to convert those. But yes, Joel Eriksson Ek basically compete level. And look, both those guys, him and Goudreau, I think the Wild now have the second most shorthanded goals in the NHL this season. they have a knack for that. And, you know, Chef Zolgad has been calling for teams to play a little bit more aggressive on the penalty kill for years. He asked Bill Guerin about that even a few times when he's come on the show.
I was ridiculed.
So it was all Eck. And, I mean, I know hockey is such a bang-bang sport. It's hard to see. Looking at that review, how did we miss that? I mean, his glove is in the GD net. It's completely in the net.
That's so bang-bang. I thought Louis's like, I think that's a goal. And I thought, I don't know that they have the visual evidence that's conclusive enough to call it that. Fortunately, they did. I was skeptical. I was very skeptical. But that's, you know what? That's exactly why that mechanism's there. But I think the bang bang, at first I thought, did that puck go on net or like to the side of the net? And then as we got a view, it was clear that he had dragged his glove in. But Sorokin, by the way, fantastic game. That was a big league game from the Islander goaltender.
I mean, both New York goaltenders are both New York hockey fan bases, whether you're an Isles fan or a Rangers fan. I mean, you're blessed with two of probably the best goaltenders in the NHL right now. And yeah, I mean, look, he stood on his head all game. So it wasn't the fact the Wild were, if they lost to some slappy, as we like to say, and they put up those, 38 shots, that's one thing. They were going against Sorokin, who's a very good goalie. But I thought just with how they were putting shots on net, how they had numerous power play opportunities. I'm glad they got the win tonight. Yeah, I've seen a lot of comments in our YouTube section that say, 2 points is 2 points. This is a win. And I won't apologize for the win either. But yeah, this would have been, I wouldn't say start to move that panic meter, but if this was a loss, I think tomorrow's podcast or the next following episode of Judd's Hawk Show would have been, all right, where do we go from here after basically not having a regulation win in almost a full week?
Yeah, and I mean, at least a couple nights ago, you lost a shootout, you got a point. You lost in regulation to St. Louis. The game before that, though, Buffalo OT, and you got a point. But I thought tonight was impressive because of perseverance. Because in the first period, again, I'm like, are they going to lose board battles so consistently? And the Islanders, I mean, Dex, you just don't, in today's league now, and this is a very, very good thing. How many teams do you see, especially at home, go into a prevent in the second period? Because that's what they did. I mean, Louis talked about it on the Bally's broadcast or telecast, and he's exactly right. They were very happy to chip the puck out and just keep chipping it out and chipping it out. And the one thing that I will say is I think that emboldened the Wild forwards, including the first line, to forecheck more and to be more aggressive. And so it did feel like the Wild, if they got a break, which they did through hard work, that's a credit to Eck, but it felt like if they got a break that they had a good chance. It didn't. I wasn't real concerned, and Gustafson played well, but I wasn't real concerned that it was going to be like a 3-0 Islander win. It wasn't the type of game where you're like, oh man, the Islanders struggled to generate offense, and Gustafson made, I would say, what, 5 or 6 really quality saves.
Oh, yeah. He was good. Yeah.
Which was huge.
Good all year.
But yeah, exactly. But this was a game where I think you got to be very pleased with the resilience, because it's a type of game where you easily could have left, with another tough loss potentially and not, even gotten the point, and you didn't. What do you make of this power play? Okay. What's the happy medium? And we've seen this before, between trying to look for shooting lanes, all right, setting plays up, and shooting the damn puck. Kaprizov had a great shot on a late power play in the third period, but there was also, I think he tried to pass once, and it's like, Kirill, dude, you've got the shot. And I'm a little bit flummoxed at times power play-wise. It just feels like they try at different times to get so cute. And if they just shoot the puck, it creates opportunities because it creates rebounds, it creates deflections, blah, blah, blah. And so there's got to be like a happy medium somewhere where, okay, I get that you're trying to set plays up, but shooting the puck is what you need to do. And I don't know if it's consistent, but it feels like there is a long stretch of time, or there's stretches of time, Dex, where they get away from that.
You can't have power play opportunities basically wasted on the board there. And that's kind of what happened tonight. And you definitely don't want to be in a situation where when you get all those power play opportunities that the Wild had, you can't waste them. So hopefully the Wild can kind of figure out a way to not waste those opportunities and not get too cute in the power play. And hopefully the next time that they don't waste those opportunities either.
Yeah. I mean, just for the most part, shoot the damn puck, just shoot the puck, see what happens. I understand that you're trying to find lanes, and I get that in this league today, the goal is to basically gum up the works and block shots. But it feels like there comes a time where it's like, you don't have to get that cute. All right. I got a question for you that we didn't get to, and I don't think we got to it after the Ranger game, but I think it's worth talking about. Jordan Greenway, did you see Russo's report why he was scratched came out against the Blues, according to Mike? He was scratched because he showed up late. It sounds like he showed up at like 5 o'clock for a 6 o'clock game. Because when Dean talked about that post game, Dean was very Dean's words were he was very cautious, and his words were something like he wasn't available. That's all I'm going to say. And ordinarily, Dean doesn't give you much, but he will say, you know, guy's sick, upper or lower body. And in this case, he said he wasn't available for tonight's game. And then Mike reported, I think, the next day or 2 days after that, that Jordan had shown up late, and so he was scratched, which really put them in a pickle because they were already down a forward for that game. It's why they dressed Goligoski as a seventh defenseman. It was, I guess, the second time during the course of the season at some point he also had been late. Now, I think this is when Jordan was hurt, so it didn't get out publicly, but, of course, that still bugs the team. Where do you stand with this one? Because I feel like Jordan has gotten a lot of chances. I feel like there's been a patience. And look, when he's going well and the grief line is playing well, I'm not trying to doubt that there is a importance that he brings. All right. But I also think that Bill Guerin and Dean Evason, to a large extent as well, have gone about trying to really set a tone, right? A culture, to use Phil's favorite word. And that culture, when you have a guy who is showing up an hour before faceoff, is being violated. If it's a one-time thing, I think that might be okay. But if it's a multiple-time thing, I got to think that Bill Guerin and company are just about at the end here with this. I don't know when you've done as much work, especially as this team's done, to clean things up and to have an accountable team, that you can have one guy go rogue a couple of times, three times, and the pattern continues, and then go back in that room and say, but everybody else here is accountable. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's kind of unacceptable. And, you know, I think Greenway's saving grace was always, yes, there's an area of his game that has to be better. And Guerin tried to get that more out of him when he sat him down. What was that, last year, a year and a half ago now? Like, the years kind of blend together. But now with those off the ice issues, I mean, if you're not performing and just in general, whether you're performing or not, if you're bringing the off the ice baggage and not taking those things seriously, well, that's actually going to be more even detrimental to what you're doing day in and day out. And I'm not sure if you saw this. Our guy Zeke sent us this on Twitter right as actually we were recording today. But during the TSN broadcast tonight on the Senators game, apparently the Sens have interest in Matt Dumba.
I have seen that. That came out a couple of days ago. I believe it was talked about perhaps on Hockey Night in Canada on Sunday. Yes.
And
I
that,
did see that. I've been scouting them.
The Sens have been scouting the Wild, and Wild maybe scouting the Sens. And I believe Jacob Chychrun could be someone even that could be potentially brought back here in a return like that. So, yeah, it's going to start to heat up here. So, what, we're about 7 weeks, I believe, from the NHL trade deadline.
Chychrun where? To the Sens or where?
To Minnesota. Chychrun
Jacob
could be.
Chychrun?
Could be, yeah.
Well, that's a big price tag, baby.
Yeah,
that's a huge price tag. I don't think the Wild would pay the freight for the return to the Coyotes. I mean, but it's a hell of a player if you do.
Yeah, I mean, the Wild have had interest in him before, too, so I think that's where some of that stems from.
But yes, Dumba things out there.
But as we get closer here to the deadline, which is now about 7 weeks away, I mean, now it's called hot stove in baseball, you know, when you're in the early parts of free agency. I mean, now this hot stove of MLB or of NHL trade deadline stuff is really going to start to pick up. And yeah, I mean, if Greenway is not taking things seriously, and look, you can kind of trim some of the fat from your salary cap issues and from your locker room issues and make your team better, I think Guerin is probably very likely to do so.
I think Dumba is very likely gone, but I think it's because of the fact that there are going to be potential replacements there. And I think that is a hockey on ice decision. The Greenway thing, again, I'll go back to Dean and Bill have done a ton of work to change this team. And that's a culture thing. That's an off ice thing. Like, I don't care what a guy brings, unless he's Kaprizov. I don't care, you know, if you bring a big physical presence and can score some goals, that's great. But if you show up late, that's a problem. The Dumba thing, I really do think, I don't think it's lip service, Declan, to say that Dumba has done a great job of maturing. I think he's done a good job of becoming a very popular guy in that room. All of that being said, I think the going theory is he's not going to come back. He's going to be too expensive. And so at this point in time, too, and it's not like he is a great player, so get something. So the Sens actually make a ton of sense because the Sens have the room, right? So they've got the cap room. They could lock him up. The Wild could get, you know, preferably something in return as opposed to Matt walking away. And it's not like Matt, like if the Wild does, I'm going to say it slowly, win a playoff series. If the Wild, you know, wins a playoff series, it's not going to be like you looked at Dumba and said, oh my God, he helped them win. So yes, that makes a ton of sense. I got another one, but before I do, I want to talk to you about discipline because you know what? Jordan Greenway lacks discipline. And I used to too. That, my friends, is Sports Dad. And the guy on the left is before my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers helped me drop 40 pounds. The guy on the right, well, he's the skinnier Judd, and he's the guy that dropped that weight. And you know what, folks, if I can do it, so can you. And right now it's a great time to start. This is no quick fix too. It's a long-term solution because it's not a diet. Livia Weight Control Centers. That's right. There's a big difference between diet center and weight control. The dietitians there are fantastic. The actual program is as simple as it gets. What it basically takes though is following it on a day-to-day basis. And then the best part, once the weight's gone, they're going to help you as well. Keep that weight off. And if you mention Judd, when you call them or contact them, the Judd offer gives you 50% off the program. 855-GO-LIVIA, livia.com, livia.com. Mention my name and Score North, 50% off the new you in the new year. All right. I've been crafting this and we've talked about it in passing, but I've been crafting this mentally. All right, so Greenway, let's say Greenway's gone because I just don't want to put up with this stuff. How about this? All right, remember about a month and a half ago, and this sort of got lost because guys came back, but about a month and a half or 2 months ago, there was a report, I think Russo started it, when he talked to Bill Guerin, and Bill Guerin said, I am looking for another top six winger or a scorer, top six forward. Think about this. Greenway gone. Hartman, who in my opinion is not a top six guy. I don't know what you think about him. I think he's a bottom six guy who is good in that role. Hartman goes to the grief line. It might not be as good, but again, if you're taking a distraction out of the room, I'm fine with that. And you re-engage when you're talking about Dumba, Greenway, in trying to get a guy that can score on that second line. So now you've got Boldy, another guy, a legitimate top six guy. Because you know what? To your credit, okay? It's become quite clear. And it did a while ago, but it's really clear now. Regression. The old regression has hit Hartman and Foligno with a big slash, a big stick, a big bang, okay? So if you were to introduce a top six legitimate guy that could get you some points and goals, I'm not saying Goudreau is great. I don't love him, but I think that, you know, in the Wild's philosophy that we just need a couple of guys that can score, if Greenway's gone, if Dumba's gone, I think you could justify and make that work cap-wise, and I think your team is stronger then. Even if Hartman then, who is a grinder, he's not a scorer. If he goes to the grief line and plays on the wing with, in this case, then probably Foligno on the left side and Eriksson Ek at center. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of putting Hartman there because he has a workman's type, and I think it fit in. It would work. I'm with you. I don't really think Ryan Hartman, despite the 30-plus goals last year, I think, yes, that was more of an anomaly. I don't think that's consistent. And he has had a very good career and a very good role with the Wild of being a bottom six dude before that explosion last year. And we're kind of seeing that's a fluke. It was a fluke. And if they truly trusted him, they would put him back with Kirill and Zuccarello, and they haven't. So I like that. Now, who could they get to buy at the trade deadline? I know our guy on the YouTube channel, GAO007, says Troy Terry.
They're not trading Troy Terry.
I don't believe.
The Ducks aren't going to trade him.
The Ducks will do that either. No. Good player. But
Ducks
could
be great in about 2 years, by the way.
Yeah, so I think they would hold on to him. But yeah, I mean, they could be buyers. You also could, I mean, I don't think they're going to rush him, but you could call back up Rossi. Hell, you could call up Sammy Walker if that's more of a safer play. There's internal options you could make too. But yes, I love the idea of getting a legitimate top six dude that would, in theory, then help Matt Boldy, who definitely is gripping the stick a little bit more and just frustrated and goes through these streaks where he doesn't score. He's now, what, 13 straight games? He hasn't scored a goal. Or one goal, excuse me. One goal in 13 games. That's it.
Yeah, I thought he made some nice plays tonight. But yes, he's definitely pressing. And I think I know why. Like, it's not that hard to see why. He has more skill than the majority of guys he plays with. And I think he gets frustrated. That's not ideal. But yeah, I think if you were to put him with a guy that could legitimately set him up, it changes things. And I also think, as far as the playoffs go, that gives you a much better chance to go into the playoffs with more confidence in your lines. My issue is this right now. With Hartman on that line, it feels like right now it's gumming up the works. Because Dean's Dean, and I'm not trying to say that this guy's great, okay? But because Dean's Dean, Shaw's being scratched, I'll tell you what right now, to go back to what you just said, I would be very curious if you brought Walker back up and installed him with Boldy and Goudreau. I honestly think, and I know that, you know, Hartman scored some goals, so I'm not saying that he's a complete waste of time, but I honestly think that Sammy Walker's play fits Boldy more.
Mm-hmm.
And Goudreau's a guy. Like, yeah, he's like a hard-working jag.
Yep. Yeah, it's a good way to look. He's a hard-working guy. And even
like
John,
he works his ass off, and that Golden Knight was nice, but he is a jag who works his butt off, and that's awesome.
And John, right on our YouTube channel here, says where Boldy is overcompensating for the lack of skill on that line, and it's true. It is. There isn't enough natural skill on that line to help Matt Boldy. And he needed Kevin Fiala last year. And to a degree, Fiala needed Matt Boldy as well to get both their games rolling. But I think a guy like Walker might complement his skill set better. It's not like Sammy Walker is a walking, waiting, sleeping giant that's going to score 20 to 30 goals. But the speed is huge. And I think we saw it in a small sample size this year that it worked out really well, too.
Yeah, because that line right now goes grinder, skill guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need, in fairness in hockey now, I think to make that line, to maximize it. I think if you went guy with speed, young guy, not a, you know, at this point in time, Sammy wouldn't be considered a finished product, but he's got some skill. Grinder, skill guy. I think that would be better. And I mean, just for the most part, Ryan Hartman is a grinder. Last question, because you are really good at this. So I got a question that I'm going to try and get ahead of this. I don't know what the answer is, though. All right. So you called early, I think it was last year. You're like, be careful, because Foligno and Hartman probably aren't going to be able to continue on the paces that they were on at the time. And to their credit, they basically kept it up for the season.
Yep.
But then it, you know, but it definitely has waned in a big way since then. So my question to you is this. Sam Steele.
Yeah.
Like, no, but what's the outlook there? Because, you know, like Lou was saying tonight, first round pick of the Ducks, didn't get a chance. I really like him. I think Sam Steele is great when he doesn't try to be Kaprizov or Mats, because he's just not. His goal tonight was very nice. But what do you what say you about Sam Steele when you look at what he's doing? Because it's pretty good right now.
I wouldn't say I'm trying to sell the stock. I'm more going to ride out this stock. I'm more going to see where it's going to go. Is it just riding up a little bit right here and you bought it at a low price and it's a nice place to be in? Or is this actually going to be something that explodes because he's been playing with such good playmakers, obviously, in Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello? I don't know how I feel yet about Sam Steele. Yes, he's a former first-round pick. I will say yes that he didn't have the same opportunities that Ryan Hartman had, who was also a late first-round pick when he was with Chicago. I need to see a little bit more. But he is 24 years old. He didn't get a fair shake in Anaheim because the Anaheim Ducks are terrible. So I like the upside more, probably because I know what's I want to see what more Sam Steele can be.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he's like this insanely diamond in a rough yet. I need to see more. I see people in our YouTube comment section saying, well, he's better than Tyson Jost, and that was a better acquisition. And that was right. I thought Tyson Jost was going to be potentially a more of a sleeping giant because of him being bogged down in Colorado. He did score a goal, I believe, tonight in Ottawa. But I need to see. I need to see a little bit more.
So how much more? Like, can I get a response in like 2 weeks, a month? When can I get a response? Because the Foligno and Hartman calls were impressive. I'd like to feel like we're going to get the same.
The Foligno and Hartman calls, though, were statistics that just in hockey that don't keep up unless you're superstar players. And Foligno, God bless him, is not a superstar player. Hartman is not a superstar player. So those regression statistics that are always prime shooting percentage, always being a big culprit of one, are always good to say, hey, regression could be coming here. I just don't know if this is the case yet with Sam Steele. Don't know.
Gotcha.
Maybe a month.
Okay. Fair enough. Sports Bowls asks about the possible acquisition from the Vancouver Canucks of a guy that we talked about all last year, JT Miller. I can tell you right now, he just signed a huge contract. The Wild can't afford him.
No.
So like when we talk about potential like second line guys, it's going to have to be, if they do it, it's going to have to be crafted very carefully. So like this team doesn't have the ability. They basically, I believe, remain in salary cap hell for 3 more years after this one. So they're not going to have the ability to make a splash trade that is going to be like, oh, I can't believe that they got this guy. It's going to have to be very carefully crafted, probably on a guy. If they think that they can make a run, probably on a guy that is, his contract is coming up or doesn't have much time left. But as far as the Canucks fire sale goes, I don't think they're going to trade JT. Second of all, if they do, the Wild can't touch him. Bo Horvat is a name that's intriguing. Well, and his contract is coming up. So like they can't pay him, but he would be, make no mistake, a rental.
Yep, that's a rental.
Wild couldn't afford to keep him.
I will say this last, going back to Sam Steele quick. I mean, yeah, 13 points in 14 games coming into tonight alone. And he's been more a facilitator. So if he can facilitate, and by the way, that is easy to do when you play with Matt Zuccarello and Kirill Kaprizov.
Know your role.
Then that's fine. Then there is consistency there. And then I can say, yeah, that's pretty dang good. He's not shooting a lot. He doesn't have a high shooting percentage. He's not going to be relied upon to shoot a lot necessarily. So if the role is to be also like the second facilitator to Kirill Kaprizov and playing second fiddle to Matt Zuccarello, and yeah, there's a nice career there. But I don't know if it's someone that is a superstar in the making necessarily either. He's a nice role player and it fits in well. On the Bo Horvat, JT Miller, yeah, I would stay away from JT, from the contracts. Not stay away. If they had the resources to do it and the cap space, well, that's a different conversation. Yep. Bo Horvat, it just depends on the price and then how willing is Guerin then to potentially lock him up?
Not.
Is he able to?
I don't think they can. I mean, if the cap would go up exponentially one of these bleeping years, then I'm all for it. But Dex, I think we're what? Due to have it be raised by $1 million for 2023-24? Is that correct? Yeah. $1 million?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You're screwed. You're screwed. In fact, that, of course, watching Zach Parise hoof it around the ice tonight made me feel real good about that one. All right, wrap it up for us. Appreciate y'all watching.
Yep, hit the subscribe button for Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment right here on Score North. This is Judd's Hockey Show, you know, I'm safe to say this, I think. Next week, there's going to be some reinforcements on Judd's Hockey Show.
Line change.
It's going to be, it's been Judd and Dex for a long time.
Yep, it's going to be a line change.
The last 2.5 years. Well, speaking of reinforcements, speaking of buyers at the trade deadline.
Yep, the room is being... Let's just say that there might have been some friction in the room.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a schism. Bit of a shakeup.
Schism?
Schism in the
schism?
Room. Yep. Brett Favre. That's right.
So, yeah, maybe some goalie rotations, maybe a new first line center here and there. So stay tuned maybe next week for Judd's Hockey Show to find out what the hell I'm talking about. And hit the subscribe button, too, for Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. And, of course, pass, shoot, score.
You know, there's no room for petty bullshit.